Hallelujah. Praise His name this morning. How could we ever describe the love of God? It's so measureless, as the psalm says, so measureless and strong. Praise His holy name this morning. Welcome each one to the service. We do welcome our visitors this morning. Good to have you with us. Trust that the Lord will just bless you in a special way. Amen. Let's sing that song. Sacrifice of praise. Are you ready to praise Him today? Worship His holy name this morning. Amen. We bring the sacrifice of praise to the house of the Lord. We bring sacrifice of Privilege just to offer up a sacrifice of praise to Him, thanking Him this morning that we can worship Him in spirit and in truth today. Amen. Brother John, if you would come this morning, we have a few prayer requests. I want to pray for Sister Mary Smith. I don't believe she's with us this morning. I want to remember Sister Mary Smith in prayer this morning. Also, Sister Jackie Whitlock is not feeling well today, needs a touch from the Lord. So let's remember Sister Jackie Whitlock. And I think this is several requests on this page. Cindy had a painful first week of recovery from her neck surgery last week. Please pray for her full recovery. That. Cindy's dog Sugar Plum is in critical condition in a pet hospital in Anderson, South Carolina. This is Cindy's baby. So please pray for her. And you know, them little pets get pretty close to you sometimes. So that's very important this morning. Even though it's just a dog, you know, I believe it's needful. Amen. I believe we can do it. Simona Walters, number two co-workers, asked for special prayer. So remember that request this morning for Simona Walters. Also prayer for Carol Becker and family in Florida, whose husband suddenly died on Friday. Friends of the whole Walters family. So let's remember Carol Becker and family this morning as we pray also. Brother John would come this morning. Maybe you have an unspoken request today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just humbly approach your throne, Lord Jesus. We invite you in here this morning, Lord God. We want to meet with you. Lord God, we just thank you for everything you've done for us throughout the week, Lord Jesus. So many praises that we've heard, Lord God. So many good things that are going on in your body. Lord God, we also pray for those that are hurting, the requests that come before us this morning, Lord God. Sister Smith, Sister Whitlock, neither feeling well, Lord, for Sister Cindy's pet companion, Sugar Plum. Lord God, for all these requests, all the way down to Florida and around, we know that many people, Lord Jesus, just seeking a touch from you. Lord God, we know that you are the healer of our bodies. You heal our minds. You heal our spirits. Lord God, for any of those that need your assistance this morning, Lord Jesus, whether it's spiritually, Lord God, financial issues, Lord, issues in the body, Lord Jesus, this is an important part of the service, Lord God, when we reach out to you and just make a petition for our brothers and sisters. Lord God, I pray that you would bless the remainder of the service, Lord God, the music and the preaching as it comes this morning. Lord God, be with Brother Coffey, be with my daughter Arwen in Congo, be with all those who are reaching others outside of our assembly, Lord God. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated this morning. Brother Keith, let's sing that song, Our God Reigns. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody happy this morning? Our God reigns today. Amen. Praise God. Amen. How lovely are the mountains, are the feet of you. Proclaiming news of happiness. our sin and guilt that moves, that wounded it. It was our sin that brought him down. When we like sheep had gone astray, our shepherd came and all his own. For our shame, let's worship him now. Sister Becky, them driving back from Ohio today, I think. No? Okay, flying. Okay, they're flying, so that's even better, isn't it? But we still need to remember them in prayer, traveling, amen. God would just give them a safe trip back. Brother Keith's going to sing for us this morning.
Many years ago, just a young boy, growing up over in going to Bible Tabernacle in Ruth. Brother Henry Green was our pastor, and he was a wonderful singer. And I can hear his voice ringing out. And this song, he always used to sing this song, and I could never sing it like he does. But just thinking about all the sermons that we've been hearing lately, the way the Word's been coming out so clear, and so the revelation just coming to us, I tell you, it makes me know that I'm glad that I'm born again so that I know what's going on. Amen. Thank you.
faith has grown weak when burdens seem to rise on every hand. Oh, but when I steal away in prayer, He answers my plea, my every need He understands. And I've been born again, free from sin. I'm happy night and day. It makes me shout, oh, there's no doubt. I know that I've been born again. Yes, I've been born again, free from sin.
Happy to know you've been born again. Amen. We're going to ask our ushers to come this morning. I have one announcement. Sister Laura's Sunday school class will meet at 4 p.m. this evening. So remember that, Sunday school class meeting at 4 p.m. Amen. Just as our ushers come this morning, let's sing that song, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. If you would stand this morning. Amen. We're glad to have Brother Sean Martin with us today. And I know he's going to be a blessing in the service, bring the word, singing. And so we're just glad to have our brother and his family with us today. Amen. Brother Jeff, if you would pray over the offering this morning. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that blood. another good hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank God for that blood. Amen. Brother Sean, if you'd come this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord.
God bless you. God bless you. Praise you. Amen. Aren't you glad for the blood? Amen. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Washes, cleanses, amen, and set us free. Amen. Well, good morning. It's good to be here. Also, the Lord, and trust you're happy to be here. Looking forward to what God has for us. Amen. Enjoyed the songs and the worship. And you can be seated. Might try to sing. I don't see my wife anywhere, but she's in the back. Okay. We'll have her to sing. If I play the piano, I'm not as good as Brother Keith, but amen. Okay.
Oh God, I'm blessing you. brought me through sorrow and pain. You were there every time that I called. You reached down
welcome in our lives. Amen. And may He have every part of us. Amen. And have complete control. Amen. If you'd like to stand with me and we could just open our Bibles to Psalms 103. Amen. And again, like to say it's just a real honor to just speak to you this morning, and just really feel honored that your pastor would have the confidence in us to fill in for him. And we certainly don't want to stand here to be seen, but we want to be a blessing to you and say something that would edify you in your walk with Christ. The book of Psalms, chapter 103, and we'll just read the first three verses. But it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." Amen. What a promise, huh? Let's just bow our heads and talk to our Father. Precious Lord, We are so honored to be here with this portion of your bride, your redeemed. Lord, and it's always good to be around your people, to fellowship with one another, but it's so a greater honor to be able to fellowship with you. We have come gathered, Father, under a promise that where two or three are gathered in your name, you would be here. And Father, I believe that is the case today. And Lord, so we just ask that you would have your way this morning. Anoint both speaker and hearer. Help me to get myself out of the way, Lord, and may you speak through this vessel. Is our prayer, and any spirit that would try to hinder the people from receiving, Father, we ask that you would drive it away, and may your angels just take their position around each pew, each person, and may they help the people to believe. We ask these things in your most gracious name, Jesus Christ. And the church says, amen. You can be seated this morning. I am honored to have my wife and my younger children with me. Amen. And my older children, they have obligations there in the church, and so they weren't able to make it today, but always enjoy having my wife with me. Praise the Lord. This morning I want to title my sermon, or the message, God is the Healer. And, of course, this subject is an extensive one. But we just want to deal with a portion of it and trust it'll be a blessing. But we know there are two kinds of healing, and that is spiritual and physical healing. And this morning I want to deal more on the physical side of it. But we know in order to receive divine healing, the prophet said that the first thing you have to do and to know is that you have to know if it is God's will for you to be healed. You have to know whether or not it is God's will. And he says if you're coming to get salvation, you've got to find out whether it's God's will to save you or not. The first thing you have to find out is what God's will is. We can't have faith until we know it's the will of God. In another place, he says, all you in the prayer line, sick, needy, have you prayed over this sincerely? Have you prayed over your sickness? If you have, raise up your hands. You prayed over it. You believe you prayed through on it. It's God's will to heal you. If you have, raise up your hands. If you prayed on it, through on it, it's going to happen. There ain't but one thing to do then is cast it away from you when you come by. So we know that it is God's will to heal. How many believes that? It's God's will to heal. Amen. And what is God's attitude about healing? And I know this will be just simple, maybe just to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. But sometimes it's good to have our minds steered up. Amen. Especially when you're in the battle and Satan's fighting you on every hand and bringing questions and trying to bring doubt. But what is God's attitude about healing? Well, we know that healing was in every covenant that God made with man. He has never changed. No matter what covenant he has made, healing has always been in that covenant. We find also when Abraham offered a sacrifice unto the Lord that God required certain animals to be sacrificed, and he told Abraham what to do. He was to divide the sacrifices in two, in half, and which the prophet said was showing the difference between the dispensation of law and the dispensations of grace, showing that it would change from law to grace. But that turtle dove, he didn't divide. God told him to keep it whole. And the prophet said the reason why is because that represented healing. That healing would never change. No matter if it was in the dispensation of law or in the dispensation of grace, healing was always God's attitude. Amen. It was His attitude to heal. Amen. And so we know that God is the healer in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. Brother Branham says that now the principle of us being here is trying to help you. And the only way that I know, Christian friends, to help you is to get your faith the best that I can by the Word of God centered on the will of God for you. Now, that's the purpose of all of us, your pastor preaching, me preaching, this morning is to get your faith centered on the will of God for you. That way you won't leave here, leave the service wondering, now what is it God's will? Now what is His attitude toward me in this certain issue? Amen. But it's to center your faith, amen, on the will of God for you. If you can only see, he says, that it's God's will to do these things for you, it's God's will to save you all, it is God's will to heal you all. And so any minister that is preaching the gospel, his job, his responsibility is to get your faith centered on the will of God. Amen. Now Matthew 8:2, it says, "And behold, there came a leopard and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt." Now think of that. That's incredible, the statement he's saying there. Lord, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. But Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. I will. I think that's his response today, is I will. Amen. And not just I will, I have. Amen. But I will, be thou clean, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So the prophet says, now we know it's God's will to save the lost. We know it's God's will to heal the sick. Now if we can positionally place ourselves in His will. It's not the question what God wants to do for you. It's us putting ourselves, positioning ourselves in His will. Can you say amen? To where we have no doubt whatsoever. If you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you've got to come to that place that it's God's will to give you the Holy Ghost. There's no sense in begging God to give you the Holy Ghost. You don't have to tarry for God to give you the Holy Ghost. It's His will to give it to you. Amen. And so he says we positionally place ourselves in His will, then it's over. He says for this little audience tonight, how many sick people's in here? He said, let's see your hands. He said, see, we should go home tonight perfectly well. There's no need for a lost individual to go leave this building today without being saved. There isn't no need for someone that needs the Holy Ghost to leave this building without the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's no need for a sick person to leave this building this morning without receiving their healing. That's how easy it is. We make it hard. And we make it hard because of doubt. We make it hard because we feel like we've got to do things, that God's already done it. And we've got to just position ourselves perfectly in His will. Amen. Now, why cry, speak? 59, Brother Bram said, why do we worry? Why do you wonder? Why do you wait? Speak and go forward. Don't cry out and say, oh Lord, is it your will to heal today? Sure, it's your will. Thus saith the Lord, it's His will. Can I receive the Holy Ghost today? Is the days of miracles past? Certainly the days of miracles is here forever. The Holy Spirit is here. Does men speak with tongues today? The Bible said so. These signs shall follow them that believe. Does men interpret messages? The Bible said they do. That settles it. Thus saith the Lord, speak, don't cry. Speak and go forward. God don't want a bunch of babies crying.
are crying babies. He says he wants men that's got backbone, not wishbones. Oh, I just wished I had it. I wished I could do this. I wished I could be healed. I just wished. He said God doesn't want that. Backbones that'll stand in the breach, claim the victory, claim and call it out in the bunch of midst of darkness. No matter what anyone says, speak and go forward. Because you're positioning yourself in His will, realizing it is His will. All I have to do is speak and go forward. Amen? So he says, see, believe the message. God's here. He'll vindicate His message. God's here. He's the same God that He was back yonder on Galilee. He's the same God as He was in the days of Moses. He cannot fail. Do you believe it? Amen. Now, so I trust that we can see that it is God's will to heal us. There should be no question in our minds about that. Amen. But notice, where does sin come from? Or sickness and disease? And well, you know, and I want to deal with that for a moment. But we know that sin is the root of all sickness. Do you believe that? Sin is the root of all disease that afflicts the body and soul. Brother Branham said sickness is caused by a direct or indirect cause or act of sin. So it could be the result of a personal sin. Sickness could be. It can also be traced all the way back to the fall of man. Amen. And so, even though we are not responsible for what Adam did and don't have to answer for what Adam and Eve done, yet we are a fallen race by their actions, by what they've done. Ain't that right? We were born in sin by what they've done. We were trapped into it by what they've done. And so Adam represented us in a fallen way. Amen. We are fallen by his fall. Amen. So we are really affected by their actions. Romans 5 and 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Amen. This is why we feel the effects of diseases. This is why we feel the effects and are subject to sickness and chaos and all of these things because of sin. The prophet says Eve's unbelief is the cause of every sickness, every disease, every suffering baby. It's the cause of every hospital to be built, every operation that is ever performed. Eve is the cause of it. The sin that was in the garden is the cause of every death. So we could say that disease is the physical penalty of sin. You believe that? Disease and sickness is the physical penalty of sin. Amen. All physical death, the prophet said, was caused by trying to inject some heresy of Satan into the Word of God. So we can say that sin is attributed to Satan and not to God. You believe that? Sin is attributed to Satan, not to God. And so, therefore, the prophet said sickness and sin are closely associated together, that it's almost like the soul and body, it's inseparable. Amen. And just imagine that. And you know, to see the little babies and that just born into the world, and you see already they're subject to all kinds of diseases, and yet it's the result of sin, and they're just the victim of this sin. Ain't that right? Amen. I just don't think that Adam knew the real effects that his actions would have. But notice the prophet said, if there is an unconfessed sin, they could pour oil on your head till they got a gallon on there. They could stomp and kick, snort and run across the platform, scream and holler. that devil will stay right there. Why? Sin gives him the power. Sin gives him that stronghold. Sin gives him that legal right, if we could say it that way. That devil will stay right there. He's got a right to. And as long as he's got a right to stay there, he will hold his ground. And you say amen? He will hold his ground. Now, I know I'm reading a lot of quotes, and I hope this is okay, but I want you to understand where I'm coming from this morning. I think so much healing becomes a failure. This is our prophet saying this now. Healing becomes a failure or professed healing because the first place the people are not ready for healing. They won't confess their wrongs. Now remember, healing is the result, or sickness is the result of sin. And sin gives way to these things. And see, the people, healing becomes a failure because the people won't confess their wrongs. The Bible said, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, and we're not willing to do that. If we can take the healing and go ahead and go on back and do what we was doing, they would accept that. In other words, if they could get healed and still smoke their cigarettes and still do this and still do that and gossip and talk about the preacher and all that, well, then they would be willing to do that. But for them to come and confess their wrongs, why, that's why healing becomes the failure. Amen, see. And so we find that he says, but when it really comes first to getting right with God, people don't want to do that, see? And that's the reason it throws a bad damper over divine healing. Amen. You see so many people that walk in like that and walk out, see, don't receive it. But God knows all about those things, see? So sin... And I'm gonna want to drive it home. Sin is the cause of sickness. And when we're trying to deal with sickness and not deal with the cause, all the effort is in vain. Can you say amen? That's right. It's in vain. When the children of Israel sinned against God, remember, they were talking about Moses, complaining, griping, and God just got tired of it. And so he sent them fiery serpents among them, and they began to strike the people. People began to die. Now, the prophet said all of their medical aids would not help them at that time. Why? Sin was the cause. Sin was the cause. And so now he says that Moses was very educated in the medical field. He knew remedies. He had the remedies. But he says none of them remedies would work because sin was in the camp. Ain't that right? Amen. Sin was in the camp. Now notice Numbers 21 and 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, he shall live. Amen. And Moses made a brass serpent, or serpent of brass, and put it on the pole. So God provided the only remedy that would work. Amen. God provided the remedy that would work. Now, a lot of times you see that the remedy that Moses could have had only would deal with that sickness. But see, it would not deal with the sin. But here, God provided the remedy that would deal with both of them. Can you say amen? See, the serpent was for a compound reason. The forgiveness of sin and the healing of the body. Amen. And so we know that the serpent spoke of sin and the brass spoke of judgment. The serpent already been judged in the Garden of Eden. That's right. Which was also a type of Christ. Amen. In Genesis 3:14, God had already laid judgment to that serpent. Can you say amen? And all the people had to do was look and live. Look and live. Amen. Praise the Lord. God provided an atonement. Now they were undeserving of God's grace, but God was rich in mercy. Amen. God rich in mercy. Now the prophet said, the reason that I go slow with patience, with the patience, is the first thing, there's something that has caused that sickness. And before you can get rid of the sickness, if the doctor can do nothing for you, then you've got to find the cause, the reason for that. He said there's so many, the Holy Spirit will reveal to the people hidden sins and so forth they've done a long years ago. Or maybe they something they ought not to have done or something they should have done and did not do it, see. He says today we've got the best medicine we've ever practiced with. We've got the best doctors we've ever had. We've got the best institution hospitals, best drugs we've ever practiced with. And yet we've got more sickness than the world has ever known. We've got the best of all physicians, and yet the most sickness we've ever known. But notice what the prophet says. You want to know my analysis of it? He says we've got more sin and unbelief than the world has ever known. Amen, that's right. He said, there's where your trouble lays. Sin and unbelief. There's where the trouble really lays, church. Can you say amen? Amen, that's right. The prophet said tonight, if every soul that's in the United States would turn to God with all of their heart, with all of their soul, and believe Him that way, I'll say that the cancer, heart trouble, everything in America, the problems would be settled right there. If every person in the world, the United States, would just turn to God with all of their heart, all of their soul, all sickness would be settled right there. Now we know, and I want you to stay with me, but we know that all the world ain't going to turn to God, but God sent Elijah the prophet, Malachi 4, and what was it to do? Turn our hearts back. I want to say to you, there's benefits to this. There's benefits in our hearts turning back. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Now, we look in Matthew 9 and 2. Notice what Jesus said when they brought the man to him that had palsy. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Now they brought this man for healing. Now they're bringing him for healing. You'd think you'd just lay hands or whatever on him and say, rise and walk. But notice, thy sins be forgiven thee. That's the first thing he says. Then in the sixth verse, arise, take up thy bed and walk. And the prophet says, what happened? Jesus discerned that the cause of this palsy was sin in the man's life. And that sin had to be dealt with first. So notice he come to the right place. Not just one that could heal him, but the one who could take care of the sin problem too. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Then rise up and take up thy bed and walk. Amen. So we find that even though all sickness is not caused by personal sin, still yet all sickness is caused by sin. When you take care of sin, you take care of sickness, right? You believe that, church? You take care of sin, you take care of sickness. You take care of disease. Amen. And because sickness is an attribute of sin. Amen. There would not be sickness if it had not been sin. That's right. Amen. Now, so we find when you take care of sin, you take care of sickness. The prophet used the illustration, you got maybe like a bear or a lion that is attacking you and it's clawing you to death. Now the prophet says you don't want to go and just cut his paw off. He said, you know, that's not what you want to do. He said the thing to do is hit that puppy in the head. And when you hit him in the head, you take care of the clawing. You take care of it all. Can you say amen? And so now we find the only way, because we know sin is the head of it all. And the only way to take care of sin is to hit that puppy in the head. Can you say amen? That's right. And the way to do that was by an atonement. God was going to take care of sin and hit it in the head by an atonement. Can you say amen? And so then we find that sickness and sin is dealt with in the same manner. When he took care of sin, he took care of sickness. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Hallelujah. I'm so glad for that. Now, we've had enough faith to accept Jesus as our Savior. If we have enough faith for that, we ought to have faith for every sickness that tries to come upon us. Now, it's true. Because if you believe that your sin is gone by an atonement, your sickness is gone by the same way. Hallelujah. You've got power over sin. You've got power over sickness. You believe that? There is no sense in us standing here today in this church saying, I'm free from sin. I'm free from sin. Bless God, I'm going to heaven. Oh, I've got a headache. I just wished I could get rid of this headache. If you can have faith that you're free from sin, why accept everything else? Getting quiet on me, church. But it's the truth. So sickness and sin is dealt with in the same way. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There is no atonement. Aren't you glad for the blood? Such a blood. Now notice, he hath, the Bible says, by his blood in Revelations 1:5, I believe, he hath loosed, washed us from our sins. That word washed is what? Loosed. I'm free from sin. Such am I that I have no sin attributed to me. Amen. Okay, so Christ is our atonement. Romans 5:11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received not an atonement, but the atonement. Not another atonement. There's not all kinds of atonements out here. An atonement for your sin, an atonement for your cancer, an atonement for a certain disease, an atonement for AIDS, an atonement for headache, an atonement for heart problem. No, we've received the atonement. Took care of it all. Because sin was hit in the head. Now we know that Christ is God's love gift to us. We quote the scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There's a reason why he gave. Because that would be the only way to take care of the sin problem. Notice here, 1 John 3:8. Break it in. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. God so loved you that he gave his only son that he may destroy the works of the devil. I say he has destroyed. Do you believe that? He killed every attribute that sin produced. You cannot, church, you cannot deal with sin without dealing with sickness. So God came to redeem the full form of man, both body, soul, and mind. Therefore, he took on the form of man, being made both soul and body through Jesus Christ. That's what the prophet said. Amen. To redeem man, the full form of man, both body and soul, He became man, both body and soul, to redeem you, both body and soul. He took care of it all. Can you say amen? I hope we can understand that. He took care of it all. Now notice Isaiah 53. Surely, 53:4, surely He hath borne. And that word borne is taken away. Surely He hath taken away. He hath taken away our griefs, which means sickness. Surely He hath borne, taken away our sickness and carried our sorrows, which is physical or mental pain. There's so much about physical healing that is in this atonement. It's incredible. We always want to apply it for spiritual, and can never accept it and have the hardest time accepting it for our body. But notice what the prophet says. If we can't have faith for a headache, how are we going to have faith for a rapture? Hello? Redemption applies to it all. The rapture is our redemption for our body because we're having a body change. Not just our soul. It's complete. It's the whole thing. There's not going to be a part of you left behind. Can you say amen? So surely He hath taken away our sickness and carried our physical or mental pain. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. Notice 1 Peter 2:24. He bare our sins in His own body. So He took care of the sin, right? Notice Matthew 8:17. He took our infirmities and bare our sickness. So not only did He bear your sins, He bare your sickness. So all we have to do is what? Look and live. Look and live. We see in this message of this hour, the Son of Man ministry, and all we are to do is look and live. I hope you understand. Brother Branham preached that message, look. Look. Looking unto Jesus. What is it? Not that you have to have a Savior again. Not that you have to have a Redeemer, Him coming to die for you all over again. It's over. All you need to do is look and live. Find out where He's at and look and live. Can you say amen? Oh my, we're so privileged to be in this message and to know what God has done. We're so privileged to know that He's come down in this age. And all we have to do is look and live. Look and live. Hallelujah. We know that we are His victory. You believe that? That's what our prophet said. We are His victory. Amen. Victory. Yes, victory. Everything He done at Calvary. We are His victory. We're showing His victory. He went to battle. We are the result of that battle. We say He won. We're the result of it. Hallelujah. The prophet said Jesus can do nothing more for us than what He's already done. Notice He says the Son will point to His Word and only to His Word, because the Holy Spirit came to manifest or vindicate God's promises. There's no creed that will do that. No organization will do it. Can you say amen? So the Holy Spirit always points to His promises, The Word of God promises to us. That's right. So what makes us different from the rest of the world? It's that we are partaking of promises. Promises. that are given to us in this day under that seventh seal. Can you say amen? Promises. This isn't just a message. It's not just another man that came. It was God sending a prophet. Because the word only comes through the prophet. Ain't that right? Word only comes through the prophet. Revealing the mysteries unto us. Revealing. And it's nothing but promises unto us. That all we have to do is look and live. All we have to do is partake of it. That's right. Now notice here. The prophet says, O wayward man or woman, this morning, when you are sitting here and there's something in you telling you this is right, it's the Holy Spirit seeking you out to bring you to a knowledge of truth of this hour that we're now living, not some hour that's gone by, but the hour now. There was thousands there that had been obeying an hour past, speaking in Jesus' day. They were going to church, but they were obeying an hour past. But notice, but there was a present tense hour. That was the hour that Jesus was to appear. There stood the Word. There stood the people. And here was the manifestation of God taking place to vindicate that that was the truth. Can you say amen? So we're not living in a day gone by. We're not a people that is obeying the Bible as something that was yesterday, but we're partaking of the present day word truth. Can you say amen? This is the hour of claiming. This is the hour of victory. This is the hour of triumph. This is the hour of overcoming. There's got to be an overcomer. Do you believe that? This is the hour that we're going to escape death. This is the hour that we are going to experience a body change. This is the hour. Can you say amen? Amen. Not just in our soul. It's dealing with this body. Amen. That's right. Yes, sir. I believe it anyways. God has chosen us in this age to bear witness that what Christ did was not in vain. He's chose you in this day. He's chose you young people in this day to prove that everything that Christ did was not in vain. That's right. And we, by faith, accept it. We position ourselves in His promise, in His will, and say, this is the will of God for my life for this day. I don't have to be sick just as much as I don't have to be a sinner. The prophet said, you don't have to sin. There's a victory. He paid the price. He broke the back of Satan. He broke the power over Satan. There's no way that a Holy Ghost-filled person could stand in the presence of God as a sinner again. We are His victory. And when He accepts your faith, He fills you with the Holy Ghost. Now, in the first seal, the prophet says, how can a man say that the bride of Christ goes into the tribulation? I can't understand it. She is took away from the tribulation. If the church has been judged, and they have judged themselves and have accepted, everybody say, I have accepted the blood. How can God judge a man that's perfectly, totally sinless? Totally sinless? That's why you're not going in the tribulation. You don't have to worry about the tribulation. I stand sinless. I've accepted the blood. If we can accept that, then it's broken the power of sickness. You say there's no such a person. He goes on to say that every born again believer, true believer, is perfectly, absolutely sinless before God. That's awesome. I'm talking about victory. You are His victory. Aren't you glad for that? I'm glad for a prophet that could really, truly tell us how we are His victory. He didn't die just to make you a miserable church goer. He didn't die so you could become the Baptist, Pentecostal, Assembly of God, whatever. He died to make you sinless. Sinless. And by taking care of that sin question, He dealt with everything else. See, He's perfectly, absolutely sinless before God. He is not trusting in His works, but in the blood of Jesus that His confession has dropped into. The Bible says so. He that is born of God does not commit sin. He cannot sin. How can you make a man a sinner when the bleach of the blood of Jesus Christ is between him and God? That would scatter sin till there be nothing left of it. How can that pure blood of Christ ever let a sin pass there? He can't. So I want to say, there's no way for you to be a sinner again. I want to ask you, how many's got the Holy Ghost? You got the Holy Ghost? You can't be a sinner again. You can't. He gives you the Holy Ghost because He's recognized your faith in that work of Calvary. You recognize it. That's my Lamb. Amen. I identify with that Lamb. He identified with me. I accept my pardon. I don't have to work on it. He did it. I just accept it. I live it. I walk it. I believe it. I'm saved. I'm healed. I'm redeemed. I'm going in a rapture. You believe you're going in a rapture? Oh, what expectation we have. Because He done it. He took care of it. There is no judgment against me. Well, I feel good anyways. The prophet said Christ gave the promise that we would not even stand at the judgment. Think of that. He gave the promise so you wouldn't have to stand His wrath. Man, that's awesome. So freely did He take my place until I'm absolutely free. When I'm pardoned, I'm pardoned. How can He be my Redeemer and take me from the pawn shop and the broker still say I belong to Him? I've got a written receipt, amen, wrote by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm loosed. I'm free. So free that He just not forgave me, He justified me. Now we can sing, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them no more. I never did commit them. It's one thing to forgive you, right? But how can I forgive you when you never done it? What an atonement. In other words, there's no sin trail tracing you. There's no past. There's no sinful past. It's cut off. It's gone. You never done it to begin with. You're loosed. Not just present tense, past tense, future tense. He's loosed you and laid all what your sins were on the devil. He'll be judged for your sins. That's what the prophet said. He lays all your sins upon Him to be judged at that day. But you stand free. So once a man is purged by the blood, there is no desire, no more desire to go out and sin. As Peter said, we have escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. We have been given exceeding great and precious promises that by these we might be partakers of His divine nature. Now notice the prophet said, now you will do wrong. I think this is where the mind battles are, is because we know we failed yesterday. You may have failed this morning. And you're thinking, okay, how can I be sinless? How does this work? The prophet said, now you will do wrong, but you don't do it willfully. You're trapped. And anything you're trapped into or do something that you don't mean to do it, it's not sin yet. You'll repent the minute you see that you're wrong. You'll quickly turn and say, I didn't mean that. I didn't see that. You'll say that all through life. And a man don't want to be. That's the reason that we're so stupid and so in dark down here on earth, that there's a blood atonement for us all the time to keep us covered. Hallelujah. God just provides the way, doesn't He? A blood atonement to keep you covered all the time. Is this all right?
In the beginning, we know that God permitted man to sin so that he could manifest his attributes. God couldn't be Savior unless there was someone that needed to be saved. He couldn't be a healer except there needed someone to be a needed healing. He couldn't deliver unless there was a need for deliverance. So we see that God allowed sickness and disease to come through the fall of man to show His power. And I like this because John 9:1, "And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, or his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Now I want to go a little further. Anything that is permitted falls in line with the permissive will of God. You believe that? When God permits something, it's His permissive will. Which means it's only a temporary thing. But redemption works with the perfect will of God. Not the permissive will, the perfect will. God, through His permissive will, allowed you to be a sinner. But it's not His perfect will for you to be a sinner, or you'd still be a sinner. Can you say amen? Redemption works with the perfect will of God, which is a work of restoration. When redemption is complete, the only thing will be left is the perfect will of God. Everything will be brought back to the perfect will of God. There will be no sin. There will be no sickness. There will be no devil. There will be no troubles. There will be no heartaches. There will be no death. Everything will come back to the perfect will of God. Can you say amen? Calvary made way for the perfect will of God to come in your life. It's not God's will for you to remain sick. God may have permitted you to be sick, but it's not God's will for you to stay sick. God permitted you to come as a sinner, but it's not God's will for you to remain a sinner. Can you say amen? God permitted sin to take over your life, but it's not God's will for sin to stay that way. God's perfect will is that you should not be a sinner, that you should reign in this life. And the prophet said, what are we reigning? What is our dominion? Our dominion is over sin. That's the perfect will of God. We always want to be in His perfect will, don't we? That's why we must position ourselves in that perfect will. Position ourselves. So we show forth His victory by walking in the perfect will of God. 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." He not only wants your soul, He wants your body, even as thy soul. So you can see the order of it. The prophet says, give God's word first place. A man can't even sin. He said, hallelujah, here it is. This is coming fresh. And this is in the message, the greatest battle ever fought. A man cannot sin until he first casts aside God's word. He can't even sin. That's disbelief. Until he first gets rid of the word of God, the presence of God, he cannot sin. Now, I want to go a little further. Sickness starts out as a spiritual thing. Cancer is a spirit. Tuberculosis is a spirit. Arthritis, whatever, it's a spirit. And a demon is able to enter into both body and soul. But before he can enter, he has to find a weakness somewhere to pervert. Brother Branham said it's just like the soul. The reason people don't believe in divine healing is because Satan found a weak spot in them and he perverted it. So that's why they don't believe in divine healing.
If our body was perfect like God and like God made it to be in the beginning, Satan would have no way to enter in. But he enters into our body through a weak spot. Like the prophet said, a little cell that has been bruised. That little cell usually backslides and can sometimes cause your life. When a cell backslides, it'll interrupt every cell in your body if the devil can get into that little cell. He says cancers and things are absolutely devils informed in a body of flesh moving up and taking your life. They are not natural things. They are supernatural and are demons. Growths like cancer. It's got a life in it. And the life of that is a demon. Growth of the cataract, the spread of tuberculosis and other diseases. It's demons that's in the physical form. He said just recently even cancer has been declared to be a fourth dimension disease. That it's in another dimension. Sure, it's demonology. Every disease is a fourth dimension disease, the beginning of it. Well, we know what the fourth dimension is. It's where the pictures, just like in here in this room. Prophet said there's voices, there's pictures. If that's in the fourth dimension. Science has been able, of course, to bring that into our dimension. Through television, through radio, now internet, cell phone, or whatever. It's bringing these things into this our dimension, but it's yet starts in an unseen world. Ain't that right? And he says that's what the every disease is. It's in a fourth dimension. It's unseen, but then it's nothing, but it begins to manifest through our bodies. Amen. Doctors, they call it whatever they want to call it. They call it deafness. They call it blindness. They call it whatever. We know it to be a demon manifesting itself. Ain't that right? Matthew 12:22, then was brought unto him, Jesus, one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Amen. So the Bible attributes these things to Satan. It's a devil. That's right. Cancer's one of our great killers. The prophet says, well now, cancer has a life. It's another life besides your life. It's growing. It's spreading. The Bible calls it a devil. Cancer is what is called by the medical name, which comes from the word crab with legs spreading out. But in the real term, it's a devil. Now, we know these things, but sometimes it's hard to separate, you know, what's really in our body and what's on the unseen, what we can't see. But the word demon or devil is called in the English word tormentor. It's a tormentor. I've seen many people tormented of the devil. Not just in their soul or mind, but in their bodies. And we find even the Bible says that fear is a spirit. And fear hath torment. Torment is not of God. If you're being tormented in your mind, it's not of God. If fear is taken over you, it's not of God, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Can you say amen? And this word torment is extreme pain or anguish of body, mind, or soul. The word infliction of torture to cause severe, usually persistent, or reoccurrent distress of the body, mind, or soul. That's what torment is. It's constant torture. And sickness and disease result in torment. Again, it is not God's will for you to be tormented. Amen? Leviticus 25:10, and speaking of the Day of Atonement, breaking in, it says, it shall be a jubilee unto you. The Day of Atonement shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession. Oh, my. Now, what is the order of Jubilee? The atonement had to be made first. And then a trumpet would sound. A trumpet would go all over the city or the countryside or wherever, sounding out the Jubilee. He didn't have to go make an atonement every time he stopped at a farm. The atonement was already made. The atonement was found in one place. But that trumpet represented the atonement. Can you say amen? And when that trumpet sounded and that slave heard that trumpet, and he recognized that, hold it, this is the trumpet of a jubilee, he could drop whatever he was doing right then. He didn't even have to take the shovel back to the barn. He didn't have to roll up the water hose. He just dropped it. The prophet said he could look at that taskmaster and said, don't you beat me no more. I'm done. And it set that slave free, and it broke the power of the taskmaster. That slave didn't have to keep looking back behind him, wondering if that taskmaster was following him. He was free. All he knew is he was going home, back to where he came from. Can you say amen? Now, we are called to preach the good news to every creature. And I want to sound the jubilee this morning. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to be a sinner. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to be troubled in your mind. Can you say amen? Now the prophet says, now remember this, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows that how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan revealing his works, attempted destruction of God's people, and the discrediting of God's word right down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that if the people get a true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. This isn't just something. This is your position. This is what you are, is an invincible army. Once you know who you are, what we stand for, what Calvary really done in our day, and what are the results of Calvary, that you are the victory, you are invincible. So it's your God-given right to be healed. Now we believe that we're going to defy the greatest thing is death. You realize that there are people, I'd say, sitting in this room that will never face death. Never. Redemption is so strong. Death is the most powerful enemy. And yet we're in the age of a rapture where there are literally people on the earth today, I believe, that will never, ever face death. They've conquered it. Now, if we believe that, can we not believe that we don't have to be sick? What causes death? A lot of it's sickness. Hello? Well, if there's people that's going to be never face a death, why not just claim it for us that we don't have to be sick? That might be too much to swallow. God is the healer. He forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. Can you say amen? Now we understand that there is a difference between miracles and healing. Miracles are spontaneous. Healing is a process. I'm going to just skip some things, but you look where even Jesus, you know, I've just always had this thought that every time Jesus prayed for somebody, spoke to somebody or whatever, it was automatic. But actually the Bible teaches different. It wasn't automatic. Sometimes it was automatic. But there's other times that when Jesus spoke the word, they didn't start recovering until a day later or whatever. And it was a recovery. It was healing, not a miracle. Can you say amen? So there's a difference, and Jesus done both of them. God has to do both, miracle and healing. But a lot of times we're looking for a healing or a miracle when it's not always a miracle. It's a healing.
So the prophet says, if you had a cut on your hand and you've done everything for it and just kept getting worse, why, after a while you put something on your hand and it began to help it. But it didn't get well. It's getting well. And when the curse of sickness, I want you to listen to this, when the curse of sickness is taken off of you, not every time it's a miracle. Now, sometimes it just happens to be spontaneously, but sometimes the curse is gone and the cure follows it. Amen? We find it took Hezekiah 3 days to get out of the bed after Isaiah told him he was going to live. Can you say amen? So God, it takes God to do the healing, whether it's spontaneous or a gradual thing. Also, and I'm getting ready to close, but I want to really get down to this. There are channels that God uses, and one of them channels is the doctors. We thank God for doctors, don't we? What they do. Yet, that doctor can only do so much, right? We found that out. He can set the bone that is broken, but God has to heal the bone. He can cut out whatever needs to be cut out, but it takes God to heal the cut and heal whatever's there. He can sew you up, but it takes God to heal. Ain't that right? Now, this may come as a shock to us, but God does not need a doctor to do it. He doesn't need a doctor. My Ann's not here, but when she was born without a hip socket. And you could hear something just a pop constantly in her leg, and just a little baby. We had to bring her home in a strap cast and all that jazz, you know. And the doctor says when she gets older, she's going to have surgery. And if she has surgery, even though that she has that, she'll always walk with a limp. Well, we took her home, but we weren't going to accept that, and so. But he sent us to a specialist there in Oklahoma City, and me and Brother Wayne Lawson was out on the road together ministering, and my wife called and says, hey, we've got an appointment for tomorrow, and that would be on a Thursday, and said, you know, let's just pray, and that God can just do whatever needs to be done. So we prayed, that our church back home prayed on that Wednesday night, and we just praying that God would, work a miracle. And she got there. They had the x-rays of where the other doctor took x-rays. There was no hip socket there. And he kept feeling that. And he looked at that x-ray and he kept feeling and messing around. And he says, something's just not right. So he says, I want to go get another doctor. So he brought in another doctor, and they're twisting that leg, and they're working and pulling on it. He says, something's just not right. And so they're looking at that x-ray, and said, well. So I said, well, we want to do some x-rays. So they done their own x-rays, and there was a hip. There was a hip socket. She's never had surgery. She's been walking, 13 years old. God done the miracle. We can go on and on and on of what God has done. God doesn't need the doctor, but the doctor always needs God. Can you say amen? So we have seen God set bones without the aids of doctors. I remember my son broke his finger, a door. We were outside selling shoes in a city, and it'd take me about 2 hours to set up these shoes. We was selling shoes on a parking lot. And, man, I just had a couple more to go. And I heard my trailer door slam hard. It was real windy. And Seth just started screaming. And I don't know, he must have been about 5 years old. And maybe a little younger. But I looked, went over there and looked. And that it was all black and blue and all swelled up. And finger a little bent. And I was like, oh, buddy, And so I'd say, man, I don't know what I'm going to do here. I got all these shoes. I'm just me and him, and I ain't leaving my shoes, So I I told him, I said, son, you want Dad to pray? Yeah. And he said, yeah, you know. And he's just bawling. And so I took that to him, and we took off our hats, and we just began to pray unto the Lord. And I'm telling you, God's honest truth, when I stopped praying and opened my eyes, that finger was straight, normal. The swelling was gone. Perfect. And he quit his crying, and we just went on our day. God is the healer. We have that right. Can you say amen? I've seen God heal blinded eyes without the aids of doctors. Preaching a meeting one time, and the next service, brother came up and says, "Hey, brother Sean," says, "Look at my eye." He said, "I can see." I said, "Well, good, you know, that's wonderful." And he's like, "Yeah," he said, "but last night while you was preaching, I felt something go through my eye." And he says, "I drove home with my good eye shut, and I drove all the way home with this other eye." He says, "God's totally healed my eye." God does some things. Yet there are countless times where God has used the doctor to set the bones or to perform operations. Doctors are only practicing physicians. God is the great physician. And on what basis does he heal? What basis does God heal? Faith. Can you say amen? Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him that believeth. Jesus told the woman who had the issue of blood, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Said to the blind Bartimaeus, "Go thy way, thy faith made thee whole." Told the woman of Canaan, "O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt." Amen. He said to the leper man, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Aren't you glad for that? Oh, if we could understand that healing is for us. I think of the time, you know, where Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda and only healed one man. Now, the prophet said he'd done that because he had a vision of that man. God gave him a vision, and he saw that man there, you know. And yet, the prophet said he stepped over water-headed babies. He stepped over everybody. This man wasn't going to die. But the father showed him that man was going to receive his healing. Ain't that right? He had a vision. But I always thought, why didn't these other people get healed? You know, the prophet said they could have got healed. They could have. But they didn't have faith. Can you say amen? Now, Jesus can only do what the Father showed him do. He done it. But it didn't mean that these people couldn't reach out and touch him. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. If I can but touch his garment. Jesus didn't have a vision of her. He didn't even know who she was. Who touched me? And he began to look around. And the prophet said, no doubt he had a vision of her right then. And then he located her out in the crowd. But he didn't know her. But she had the faith to touch him. Oh, my church, he's here this morning if you have the faith. You love the Lord? Now, the prophet said, see, the greatest enemy face God is hope, because a person becomes so hopeful till they leave away from faith. Now, hope will agree with the Bible. Hope will say it's true. Hope will say, I believe every bit of it. I believe that that's the Word of God. I believe that God will keep His promise. Hope believes all of that, but hope then says, now, I believe that God will heal, but look at my condition. Now, see, faith don't look at that. Faith comes around and says, I don't care nothing about conditions. God said so, and it's mine. Well, do you love the Lord? Did you know the prophet said there's a cursedness of passing through prayer line after prayer line? When once you accept your healing, don't you never go through another prayer line, he says. You let that settle it right there forever. Every time you come back, it just makes it much harder, and that much harder, and that much harder, and it breaks it. Now, thinking of doctors for just a moment. Doctors practice within the boundaries of science. He works with he's limited by his senses. He works with what he feels, what he hears, and what he sees. But he's limited. Hello? Now, I want to show you just how strong you are. And I'm going to go on, skip a lot of things. Because I know I've kept you along as it is, and I appreciate your patience. But notice what Brother Branham says of this Laodicea age. The church has turned the people over to the doctors, especially psychiatrists. The church has. Now I want to ask you, why would the church do such a thing like that? Why does the church stand as if they're helpless? God sent the church out, not doctors. Now, I'm not knocking doctors. But if you go study what the prophet said about it, he said, Jesus told us to go heal the sick. He didn't tell us to build hospitals. He didn't tell us to go do this and go do that. He says we're doing everything of that except what Jesus told us to do. Now, notice James 5:14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. You don't have to go to so many years of doctor's degrees and all of that to just to lay hands and the sick shall recover. My daughter, oldest daughter, and when we were living in Pennsylvania at the time, and she was skating in our basement, and me and the boys was gone. We only had one car at that time, and I had it, and she broke her ankle. Now y'all might think this is nuts, but it's not nuts. The bone was protruding out. Rebecca didn't have no car, but she had the Lord, and she told Faith, she said, Faith, let's just pray. And so she began to pray. She laid hands on that ankle and she began to pray. And they heard that bone snap. God totally... When I got home, she's still skating around. Now, Rebecca's like, John, you ain't going to believe this. I said, what I ain't going to believe? She said, Faith just had a broken ankle. I said, she did? I said, well, it's fine now. She said, yes. She said, we prayed, and God set that bone. The prayer of faith is going to save the sick. We understand. You see what power we've got as a church? You know, even the prophet said that your wayward loved ones, that son and daughters, you mothers can stand there and apply that token over them and claim them. And the prophet said, somehow, even if God has to put them on the deathbed, they'll be there. By your own words, by your own authority. Why? We're sinless. Do you love the Lord? I hope I've made enough sense to you to get it across. Did you know the prophet said the first commission that Jesus gave to his church was heal the sick? The last commission that Jesus gave to the church was heal the sick. The church. Go ye into all the world. Mark 16:15. And preach the gospel to every creature. What is the gospel? It's the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. That's what the gospel is. Can you say amen? You're sitting here hearing your pastor preach. That's the gospel. You should expect something to happen. We should expect supernatural, not just fall asleep. Hello? Your pastor's laboring, he's studying, he's doing everything to feed you. And now it works both ways. He studies, you pull. He preaches, you pull. You come under expectation, and God will come down among us. Why, it's not just doing a duty. We are the most powerful force on this earth. You believe it? Hallelujah. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Psalms 107:20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. If I can say this in closing, I've got a lot more to go. But we're going to quit. Don't look at your pastor as just some ordinary person. When he's coming up here preaching the Word of God to you, it's the most important thing. Did you know the prophet said the closest thing there is to heaven is the pulpit? He says that. The closest thing there is to heaven is the pulpit. Why? He's got the Word. And the Word of God is being delivered to you. Then the angels of God come, and this is just the prophet describing these things. The angel of God comes across the audience to those that believe and starts imparting the Word, starts anointing that Word to them. Right? Amen. Yes, sir. Why? You don't have to leave here sick. You don't have to leave here devastated. You don't have to leave here in your mind in turmoil. That gospel was to drive back every devil of hell, every tormenting spirit, to take everything from you if you'll just believe it. That's the power you have. That's the power you parents have. That's the power every believer has. If you lay your hands upon the sick, they shall recover. My, wouldn't that be awesome? Every parent, every home had a little book. And every testimony, start writing down every testimony and have a thick book. When someone comes to your house that don't know God, say, hey, you know God's a healer? You know, we had Jehovah Witness come to our house one time. And they get, you know, I kind of stayed out of it. There's some women, you know, coming. So I let my wife deal with them. She could deal with them. She could handle them. But then they brought over their big old bishop, you know, whatever he was. And he got down there and got, you know, you could just, I was in there studying for church, and he's a little cocky, you know. And so my, you know, I just little whatever. So I thought, you know, it's time for me to go in. So I just went in and introduced myself and sat down. Well, I know they don't believe in miracles. So I thought, man, to shut this fella up. I said, sir, do you believe in miracles? No. Yeah, no. God don't do things like that today. I say, excuse me? God don't do them things? No. No, them days gone by. I said, sir, hang on just a moment. I said, Seth, come here. So I brought him in there. So you see this son, this young boy? I told him about that finger. I said, son, is that right? What happened? Yes, sir, it is. I said, all right. Faith, come here. So I brought Faith in. And I began to tell what God had done for her. I said, isn't that right? She said, yes, it is. So, Daniel, come here. I began to tell about how he got his hands, the sliding door in our van hit his hand. And it was shut there. We just got out of church at Brother Roy's. And he's sitting there dancing, crying. And we had to go there and take that, unloose the door. And you could see the ridge and all the saints gathered around and prayed for him. And immediately he stopped crying. And you could still see that mark on his hand that never took him to the doctor. So I brought him in, told him. Said, is that true? Yes, that's true. Brought Ann in. Told him about the hip and all that. Asked my wife, honey, is that true? Yes, it is. I said, now you tell him what God has done for you. She began to just riddle off things that God told her. Now I said, now I want to tell you what I experienced. I was raised from the dead.
Yeah, right.
I said, I was. When I was just a little baby, I died in church. The nurse and everything checked my pulse. There was nothing there. And my mom didn't scream, call 911! She screamed, pray! She brought me up, and the church got around, began to pray. God brought life back into this body. Many, many, many miracles.
He says, we need to go.
Never saw them again. God is a healer.
Amen.
You believe the Lord?
Amen.
If the musicians will come. Thank you for your patience. I'm so sorry for being long-winded. I used to be the favorite preacher in the church when I started starting out. It's only 20 minutes. Of course, we was in Pentecost and didn't have much to preach. But now you got a lot to preach. I hope it was a blessing to you somehow. God is our healer. Church, if we could only realize the power that we have, the power that we possess as believers. Yes, as mortal human beings, it's impossible. How could we do it? But He's our healer.
He's given us the commission. I was preaching this a couple weeks ago at Brother Pruitt's family camp. Man come to me after church and says, Brother Martin, he said, I couldn't use my hand this morning. He said, he had it in a bandage, and he said, I sprang it. He said, I couldn't even put on my breeches. My wife had to help me do it all. While you was preaching, the Lord come by my way. He said, I can move my hand. Began to move it. What was it? God's a healer. God's a healer. My niece had, I don't remember the name of the disease she had, but it was twisting her spine. She had it 4 or 5 years ago, but every day it was just like twisting her spine, and it was causing her rib cage to stick out, and she was hurting so much in her back, and not only that, she had eye problem. We didn't know it. She didn't have glasses, but to read her Bible, she had to read it like this, right to her. Not only that, she was kicked one time in the jaw. Her brother kicked her in the jaw. Hopefully by accident, I think. I kicked her in the jaw and it messed her up, and they've been going to the chiropractor to try to straighten it out, and been a couple years ago and just hadn't been able to straighten out. So she couldn't open her jaw, you know, like that, just barely. But during that meeting, God came by her way. That whole meeting was just a faith. It wasn't just me preaching. It was different other preachers ministering as well. Just building the faith, building the faith. She went up to get prayed for. She sat back in her seat. And her Bible was in the other seat. And she looked at her Bible and she could read every word in that seat, in that Bible. She didn't have to hold it like that. God healed her eyes. He opened her jaw and there was no pain. God healed her jaw. She just started thanking the Lord. Thank you, Father, for healing my spine. Thank you. When all that week, that last service, Sunday morning, she got up for church. She's sitting there in service praising the Lord, and she realized that her rib cage wasn't sticking out. The pain was gone. She went to go check, and her whole midsection was twisted over. And when she checked, everything was back to normal. After church, she came to run. Uncle Sean, God's healed me. God is our healer. Do you believe that? Amen. Can we just sing that song, Only Believe All Things Are Possible? Only believe. Son Judah has come up with certain issues in his body, and we've taken him almost every day to the doctor, different doctors, specialists, all kinds of places. They have just been baffled at what to do. We've had him on all kinds of medication, ain't touching it, and he's had something in his tonsils just not looking right, and the doctors have just, we've taken him even down here in North Carolina several times, and they're just like, we don't know what to do. We just don't know. We were having our meeting there in April and had a prayer line, and he came in that prayer line and he said, I want prayer for my throat. God will take that away. We all prayed for him, and I actually forgot about it. A couple days later, Heather remember, you know, to look at his throat and said, Judah, I want you to open your mouth. I looked at it and them tonsils were perfectly normal. Perfect. God is our healer. I have a sister in our church that couldn't have a baby. And it was really troubling her. And she wanted that baby, wanted that baby. The doctor says, there ain't no way you'll have that baby. Ain't no way. She went through that prayer line. I didn't know why she went through the prayer line. God did. I believe it was, what, last Sunday, a week ago. This was a couple months ago. She's been prayed for, but a week ago, her husband came into my office and told us, we're going to have a baby. Everything's normal. What is it? God is our healer. I know that you have experienced God in your life in some way or another, the healing power of God. And I want you young people to know, God is your healer. God is your Savior. God is your way maker. Don't ever cast that aside. Keep your eyes upon Him. Can you say amen? Let's sing it. Lord, I believe. God bless you is our prayer. Love you. Amen.
can touch you, Jesus, is all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. There is only one way to touch you. Just believe when you call on me. Touching Jesus is all that really matters.
touch the Lord as He passes by. Oh, you will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. And He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. We'll reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. One more time. We'll reach out and touch the Lord. Not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment. Will your needs to supply? So reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Oh, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Oh, and now we'll let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord He has done. The poor say that I am rich because of what the Lord He has done for us. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Oh, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because given Jesus Christ, His Son. Oh, and now we'll let the weak say, I am strong. Oh, let the poor say, I am rich because of what He has done. We're am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. We give thanks one more time. Yes, we give thanks. He's my Lord. There is no other one. Oh, who can calm the storms of life? Like my Lord, where He gives rest to the weary, brings new life to the hopeless. There's no doubt. Bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we're so thankful, Father, that You're our Lord. And Lord, we're so thankful that You are so mindful for us, Father. Lord, and You have blessed us, Lord, with the tools that we can come to You, Father, and ask for anything, Lord Jesus. And we are so thankful for that. Lord, we're so thankful that we can ask for our healing, Father, whether it's spiritual or it's physical, Father. And Lord, we're so thankful for teaching, Father, to understand how we can access those tools, Father, in our lives. Lord, we just ask, Father, Lord, that You'll bless our brother Sean, Father. Lord, we ask that You'll restore him, Father, give him strength, Father. And let him know, Father, that we've been touched here today, Father, by Your word. Lord, we ask that You'll be with us as we leave, Father, Lord, this building, but not Your presence. Lord, and bring us back this afternoon, Father, as we come back to hear Your word again, Lord. We ask that You'll be with our pastor and his family, Father, as they're traveling, our brother Steve, our sister Sarah, as they're all coming back from the wedding, Father, there in Ohio. Lord, we ask that You'll be with them, Father. Be with the other requests, Father, Lord, that our brother Wayne brought this morning, Lord Jesus. We love You, Father, and we just appreciate You so much. We ask it all in Your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, bless You. You're dismissed, and we'll see you this afternoon. Go with it, Lord, and we'll sing that song as you go. He's my Lord. There is no other one who can calm the storms of life like my Lord. Where He gives rest to new life to the hopeless, there's no doubt, oh, about it, He's my Lord.